Bisan Ali har en helt ekstraordinær historie å fortelle. Hans muslimske familie fikk mistanke om at søsteren var blitt kristen mens hun studerte i Østerrike. Hun måtte drepes. Og Visam dro til Europa for å drepe henne. Men i stedet for å ta livet av søsteren, ble han også kristen. Da han returnerte til Nazaret, var familien rasende. Visam ble steinet, og de som kastet steinene, var hans egen familie. Han ble steinet fordi han bekjente sin tro på Jesus. Men Visam overlevde, selv om han ble steinet to ganger. Og i dette programmet kan du høre Visam fortelle hvordan han overlevde steiningene, og ikke minst hvordan søsteren inspirerte til tro. Velkommen til Tangert, magasinet for tro og samfunn. I dag gir vi deg en viktig historie om de knallharde realitetene som kan møte muslimer som konverterer. Historien til Visam Ali er også et eksempel på evangeliets kraft.
When I was a little boy, I read about things in the Bible that scared me a little bit, and that was people being stoned. And here I sit with Visam Ali. You have been stoned. Why?
Yes, I come from a Muslim background, and my family live as a very conservative lifestyle, Muslim lifestyle, according to the Sharia law. And since I took my decision that I will follow Jesus and be Christian, it was like kind of dishonoring for them. And my culture lives very much on the unity of the family. And through this step, it will it did like separate the family from the power of it. It will be lost if members will be going out to different religions. So in Islam, such a law is to convert to other religion than to Islam, the punishment is death. And my family used to live according to the Sharia law, and they fulfill it word by word. And the death punishment will be done through stoning.
Being stoned, does it mean that your family actually stoned you?
Yes, it's when we speak about family in my culture, we mean with it not just my father's house and my brothers and my sisters. Family is much larger than that. It's the relatives as well. I have my cousins, my uncles from my father's side, from my mother's side, and we all form a kind of tribe. And we count over 2,000 men over the age of 21. So can you imagine when they are there gathering together, sitting around, waiting for the verdict of stoning. And then when they get the order, and they will carry stones and they will start throwing the person with these stones. So yes, it is the cousins and family members, relatives.
You come from Nazareth, and you lived in a so-called extended family or a large family with 2,000 members. Were you going to be a leader in the hierarchy there, or?
It was meant to me that I will sit in the council of the family. My family, because it's very large, they consider tribe. And in this time, in the beginning of the state of Israel, they didn't change the tribal laws. They kept, the government of Israel kept chance for the tribes to rule. Each tribe, each family will rule inside of its tribe. My family was one of the largest tribes in Nazareth, and they kept the law of Islam, and they lived according to it until just recently. So, yeah, and that's what happened is that I grew up in this system, and they looked at me as the one who one day will be sitting in the council to judge according to the Islamic law. So they had to send me first of all to the Sharia school of Islamic law.
Tell me the reason why they wanted to stone you and what led up to this situation.
Well, after let's start from this point where I finished my school of Sharia, and I found that there was something missing in my life, and I couldn't find it in culture or in studying the Islamic law, or of being there in such a setting of laws and regulations, rules and regulations. So I decided to leave the family, and that was the greatest insult for my family, to leave them. They did write my name off of the family list, and I moved from north to south, and I faced a lot of experience there. Even I was so much in danger that people tried to kill me. I was shot 3 times, and but the Lord saved me in a miracle way. And I decided one day to go out of the country to save my life. So the only option was to go to Austria, because my sister lives there. In Austria, my sister sends me to a language school, and at this language school, I discovered that she is Christian, and she's going to get married to a Christian man. And that was the opportunity for me to come back to my family and call the council to be formed in order to take the verdict, because she symbolized the honor of the family. And being Christian and marrying Christian man, that's dishonoring the name of the family. I was given the order to go back to Austria and kill my sister for that. She has 2 options, to repent or to kill her.
So you mean your own family wanted you to go back to Austria and kill your sister?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, because that's the law of Islam, to the Sharia law. And I didn't hesitate to do that, because I was trained. I grew up in this setting to fulfill the Sharia law, because fulfilling it means obeying God. Let's say obeying Allah rather. And obeying Allah means paradise. And for me, I was willing to do anything to receive paradise. And indeed, I went back and I warned my sister to repent back to Islam, but she refused. And there was a deal between me and her at the end that I will do a language school first, and then she will hand herself to me after 1 year. My words to her were a little bit aggressive. I said to her, if you don't come and hand yourself to me, then I will kill every day one Christian. Yeah. But she was a very strong believer. She said to me, I worship an almighty God. Yeah, we have a deal. After 1 year, I'll hand myself to you. During this year, I lived a lot of wonders, and I experienced God's love through a man who loved the Lord so much. And Jesus found me on the way through a lot of miracles and experiences. Instead of killing my sister, I helped her to get married, and decided to come back to Israel to do the first mission work in Israel among my family. And the council was formed, and I delivered for them the message of truth, the message of salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is considered blasphemy. Because it was blasphemy, my uncle, who was the imam, the religious leader of the family, he commanded all young men to start stoning me. And that was the first stoning, the first time I was stoned there.
Wissam, I have some pictures in my mind from my childhood when I saw the biblical stories illustrated. Is that how they stoned you, actually?
If you have the same picture.
Yeah, I don't know if you have the same picture. The way it was built, the system of council of the family, next to our house, because my father was the head, the main person in the tribe. So it was next to our house. There was a big piece of land with a lot of trees around it, and there was a tent. And the elderly people or the council people will be sitting under the tent, and the young people will be on the right and side and on the left side. And the one who has the problem or the case, let's say, he will be sitting on the ground in front of them. Mm. And they will be like in a half a circle. Mm. And he have to keep sitting on the ground. Now, if he's innocent or the verdict will come that he is free, then he will stand and go. If he's guilty, he will keep sitting there until the verdict will come and the punishment will be fulfilled. That's the picture. So I was, in the first time of stoning, I was sitting. Now, because of the status that I was very educated in Islamic religion, I asked permission to stand. Nice. And they allowed me to stand in this time. So when I start telling them, the first stoning was by asking them a question about the Creator and the Healer and the one who is the one who raised the dead. And they answered me, it's God, the Almighty God. And then I asked them, then why it's written in Quran that Jesus can do the same? Mm. And they said to me, do you mean that Jesus is God? So my answer to them was, well, you say that Jesus is God. And then they start stoning me for this blasphemy. And I was standing, and then I start falling. Gradually, I fall down. In this minute, I still remember my father asked my eldest brother to come and to cover me, to protect me, so that they stop stoning.
Were you knocked unconscious?
Yes. Okay. I still remember the last thing I remember that he asked him, he gave him command to cover me, to come in this danger and to cover me, and I was out in this minute.
Okay, so what happened afterwards?
I was taken to the hospital. My wound were treated at the hospital, and they formed the council again, and they asked me to sit on the ground, and my father said to them, my son deserve an answer for his questions. My uncle, who was the imam, the head of the religious let's say department.
Yeah. Was this a long time afterwards?
It was about 1 week, okay. 8 days, yeah, to come back. And my uncle asked me to stand. He gave me the permission to stand and to speak my new view about why I'm different. Yeah, why do I believe different than the Islamic religion? And I had my Bible with me, and I start speaking about God's plan in mankind's life, as from Genesis to Revelation.
How old were you at this time?
I was about 22, mm-hmm. So young man, yeah.
And you were able to state from the Bible what you believed and so on.
Yes. I was. I studied the Bible in two different ways. Yeah. The first way was in a very negative, trying to prove that the Bible is a falsified book, that the Bible is not inspired by God. The second time I start studying the Bible, I did study it with the love of God inside of me, because I knew that the truth is there. And the Lord reveals to us many secrets. And I found God's plan there. I learned it as well on the hands of, in Austria, on the hands of one of the best teachers. Mm. Yeah. This I did preach to my family and to the relatives and to the young and old, proving to them that there is no hope but in Jesus Christ, and there is no salvation unless accepting Jesus.
Tell us, you had a certain experience in Austria when you lived there about this man you told me about with an orange.
Oh, yes. That's where it start all, yeah. To accept studying the Bible in a very positive way. It happened that I was waiting. The time came nearer to fulfill the verdict of my family, and my sister had to hand herself to me. So I was planning all the time, thinking how I will kill her, in what way, where, to do all this. It happened the same time that I received a call from Home Affairs telling me that I have to solve some documents, paper documents, by them in town. Other than that, they will send me back to Israel if I don't do it, with visa problems. And I was so worried. Now, to come back to Israel, it did worry me, because I didn't fulfill the command of my family, the verdict.
Yeah. So this was after you were stoned?
No. This was before.
Okay.
Yes, this is before. This is how I became Christian. Yeah. Yeah. I used to work in a garden there. And my manager, he was Christian. I went to him, asked him for permission to leave work, to do my paperwork at the Home Affairs. He refused. He said to me, if I will leave, I am not allowed to come back. So I made a deal with him. What if I will finish the work and then I will leave? And, you know, with a big smile, he said to me, of course. Yeah. And he gave me a work of 13 hours. He said to me, finish it and go. And for me, I was really so sad inside of me. So I sat under the tree thinking, what should I do? How can I solve this problem? And I fall asleep there. And I did hear a voice calling me, telling me, you are mine. I woke up and I found a teacher, theology teacher, standing by me, and he's having orange in his hand.
Was that a person you knew from before?
Yeah. No, he was one of the teachers. Mm. And he said to me, I'm looking for the Arab from Israel. I said to him, well, it's me. He said to me, I have this orange, it's from Israel. I would like you to have it and enjoy it. So I asked him the question, who are you? Yeah, and who is your God? So he said to me, I worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as one God. I said to him, I'll accept the orange, but you and your God I will reject. So he gave me the orange and he left. And I fall asleep for the second time, and for the second time the same sound calling me. And I wake up and the same thing happens. The man standing with another orange, and the same scenario, the same question. He gives me the orange, he leaves, and the third time I hear like a voice calling me, fear not, you are mine. And I wake up and he's standing there next to me, this teacher, with the third orange telling me, enjoy it. And I saw in him, he was different. He was unique. His love, he was warm. Yeah, I wanted to know more about this man, why he is different. So he gave me the oranges, but my problem wasn't solved yet. He left, and I decided to pray for the first time. And in kneeling down, I prayed to the God of this man who gave me the oranges. And I start working, and less than 4 hours, I was done.
So actually, it was a testimony of this man, the peace he had in his heart, that made you on the way to the Christian way of life.
Yes, it's his love. It's his attitude. It's his way of dealing with others. He reflected the character of Jesus.
I'll tell you something. When I met you in Nazareth, you gave me the same experience by looking at you. Thank you very much. That's the reason why I wanted to invite you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's the love of God. Yeah.
Okay. When I met you in Nazareth, I said, are you safe now or are you still in trouble?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm now saved. Yeah. After I was found by Jesus, and I gave my life to the Lord, after the story of the experience of being stoned, not one time, two times, my family gave me a chance to leave the country. They gave me 1 week to leave the country and not come back again to the country. So I went back to Austria. I started studying theology, and I went from Austria to Germany to South Africa, and then I finished my master's in religious studies at Southern Adventist University in America. Came back to South Africa. I got married. The Lord blessed us with a daughter today. And I was moving around the countries, giving testimonies and presentation about Islam and Christianity, and as well how to approach Muslims, how to do mission work among Muslims. That was my lifestyle. And suddenly I received a call from my father's house telling me that those that they wanted me dead, they are themselves dead.
Okay.
All of them, all the this generation. And the law of Israel changed. There is no more tribal law. There is just the law of the country. Yeah? And my father's house promised me with protection if I will come back with my family to live among them. There is no more council, no more tent, no more court, nothing. Yeah? It's canceled. We have just in South Israel, they still practice this this tribal law. The government of Israel allowed them that until today. But other than parts of Israel, it's forbidden. So my father's house promised me with protection. And my condition was, if I will come back and I will be working at their business, anyone I will meet, I will share with him the message of our Lord's salvation, how he saved us. And they agreed on that. They said, no problem, come. And indeed, 2014, I came back to Israel. I was in charge of the accounting at the business of my family. And every client will come. I will open the Bible and I will share the message of Jesus with him, the good news. Even my brothers, they received this message and now they know everything about the Bible. They are step away from giving their life to the Lord.
Amen.
Det sa også Wissam Ali, som frimodig vittner om sin tro. I dag arbeider han blant annet med en språkskole i Nazaret for ungdom og barn som vil lære engelsk. Og læreboken som brukes, det Bibelen på engelsk. Foreldre må skrive under på at de godtar denne måten å undervise på. Wissam engasjert også i mange andre måter å nå befolkningen i Nazaret på, ikke minst i samarbeid med kona. Besøket i Moss var han innom Tordrø skole for å hilse på barna der. Og her ser vi Wissam døpe personer som han har ledet fram til omvendelse.
I and then the name of the person believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Lord and my Savior.
Да, то есть они произносят такие слова. Я верю, что
Господь.
Если ты ønsker høre mer fra hans liv og om hva han har funnet når det gjelder forskjellene på hans tro før og nå, så kan du google Adventistkirken i Moss og klikke på opptak av taler på en liste du finner på venstre side. Der vil du finne Wissam Alis taler da han besøkte Adventistkirken i Moss. Den direkte adressen til websiden til Adventistkirken i Moss www.adventkirkenmoss.no. Du kan også sende oss en e-post eller ringe til oss for å få tilsendt et første leksjon i et brevkurs om nettopp livet med Gud, det livet Wissam Ali har funnet så attraktivt. Du ser telefonnummeret og e-postadressen på skjermen.
Wissam, yesterday I picked you up at the airport at Gardermoen, and we saw the snow, and I asked you, how is it where you come from in Nazareth?
Yeah, you know, seeing the snow after a while, yeah, it's it gives joy in the heart, yeah, but I prefer it, you know, to watch it from far away. But, you know, I was so happy that I would be indoors more than to be outdoors.